Well, sometimes in worship, you can't not help but just want to shout out. So if you need to keep doing that all morning, that's okay too. Just not too loud and too long. Every now and then, if you need to shout out hallelujah or praise the Lord, that's just fine with me. Please, amen. Please open your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark for our scripture reading this morning. We're going to be looking at Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. It's on the screen behind me. But if you didn't bring your Bibles this morning, there's pew Bibles, and that passage is found on page 1003. Let us hear the word of the Lord, Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. Then they came to Jericho, as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man named Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you." That is Jesus. Jesus is calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Last week during Pastor Lionel's message, there was a very important truth that came through him as the Lord spoke through our brother. And it was all about who Jesus is and how, as we get to know Jesus, that's how we get to know God. So knowing Jesus is knowing God. And if you want to know a lot about God, you got to know Jesus, which means you have to read your Bibles and you have to be part of Bible studies and groups and hearing sermons. There's so many different ways that you can learn about Jesus each and every day. When you get to know Jesus, you get to know God. That was just a really important point that just struck me again last week. Jesus tells us in John 10, verse 30, many scripture passages in the Bible remind us and teach us that Jesus is God. And here in John 10, verse 30, he says, "I and my Father are one." Jesus was God in the flesh. And so in our pursuit of knowing God, I'm going to begin a new sermon series called Encounters with Jesus. And certainly our prayer this morning is that each one of you encounters Jesus. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Every single one of us. And in this series, as we look through the Gospels, we will come across these encounters where people met Jesus, and you'll have to wait to see if their lives were changed or not, but we will learn about Jesus, what he did and what he was like, and how the lives of people around him changed because of him. And in our passage this morning, we have already just read about one man whose life was changed as a result of encountering the Son of the living God, God himself in the flesh. Let us look to the Lord in prayer as we begin. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can gather in this place to worship you. We thank you that you are here and you are working in our lives. And we just pray that our hearts will be open, Lord, that you would teach us your word and show us how we can apply your word to our lives every day. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes so that we may see the wonder and majesty of Jesus Christ, your everlasting Son. And help us to overcome any obstacle that is holding us back from entering into all that you have for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Blind and poor, lost and alone, possessing nothing and unable to change anything. Is that you? It could be spiritually in some areas, but in our text, that is Bartimaeus until he met Jesus, until Jesus came into his life. And the story of how Jesus healed a blind beggar named Bartimaeus has many important spiritual lessons to teach us, to those who have given their lives over to Jesus, and also to those even here this morning that have yet to come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. This isn't a story of positive thinking. This isn't a narrative in the Bible where somebody just does it his own way. No, it's a story of recognizing who Jesus is and our need of him. Who Jesus is and our need of him. Because confessing our need opens us up to God's grace and mercy in our lives. Unlike the crowd following Jesus that day, Bartimaeus, who could not see, he was a blind man, he sees clearly Jesus, his identity, who Jesus really was. And Mark, the author of this gospel, gives us a clear view of the intensity of faith that brings radical change to this man's life. Now, the larger context of this passage is Jesus is nearing the end of his life. He's passing through Jericho and he's on his way to Jerusalem. He is heading towards the cross. He's heading towards the end of his life. And already he has been predicting to his followers his death and telling his followers what is coming ahead. And you'd think that he'd have enough on his plate, enough of his teaching ministry, having to deal with the disciples and the crowd, preaching and healing and helping so many people. You'd think he'd have enough on his plate, yet he stops for this poor, helpless man on his way to the cross. Now, earlier in verse 45 of Mark chapter 10, what do we read? What does Jesus tell us why he came? He says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So earlier in verse 45, Jesus spoke about his purpose for coming to earth. And he tells us he came to give his life for you and for me, so that we might be free from the penalty and power of sin, that we would know forgiveness and the way to God and to heaven. Now, the gospel message proclaims why Jesus came. Jesus Christ came into the world for one reason: to make it possible for each one of us to be forgiven of our sins and enter into heaven when we die. Jesus came to give us hope. Jesus came to change our lives. And along the way, he stops in Jericho, and it is here he encounters this lonely, poor, hungry, blind man. Now, in verse 46 of your passage, if you follow along with me, we're going to go through these verses together. In verse 46, we learn about this man, this blind man named Bartimaeus, who was, at the time of this passage, sitting along the roadside begging. As I'm sure many of you have seen beggars before, either in downtown Toronto or even in Peterborough, they're there begging, asking for handouts. And as a blind beggar, he is a man totally dependent on others. Just consider the life of someone who cannot see. They are dependent on people around them to help them. And he was a man not just blind and begging, but he's hungry, he's got no education, he's alone. Worst of all, he had no hope. I think that's one of the hardest places to be, a place of hopelessness. Being blind, he had to keep everything he had close to himself or even on him. Why? So that it wouldn't be stolen. So someone wouldn't take advantage of what little he did have. And one thing we do know he had, it's mentioned in verse 50. What is it? A cloak. We learn in verse 50, he had one possession, and that was his cloak. And something like his cloak would have been all that he had for warmth, perhaps even for protection, for comfort, for security. And it was also probably where, if he was given a handout, some food, some money, it would be where he would put those items in his cloak to carry it, to keep it safe. But day after day, he would sit along the road calling out, "Somebody, feed me, help, remember the beggar, please." Now in verse 47, Bartimaeus, we learn, of course, he can't see, but we know he can hear. And I'm sure his hearing was really fine-tuned. And as travelers passed by, he heard their conversations. And on this day, he hears one name that keeps going over and over in the crowds. And it's the name of Jesus. He had heard that people who had encountered Jesus had their lives changed. Word had spread, of course, even to Jericho, about a man named Jesus, a miracle worker, a teacher who taught like no one ever else had taught before, with such authority. One who had healed lepers and crippled people. He had even raised people from the dead. And so when Bartimaeus realizes that Jesus is actually physically near to where he is sitting and begging, he cries out. He cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And he cries that out in verse 47 of our text. And so in crying out, "Have mercy on me," well, whenever anybody cries out for mercy, it's because they have a great need, don't they? And he wanted Jesus to show him kindness, to help him in his helpless state. And when you cry out for mercy to God, you are expressing your need for him. You are desperate for God in your life. And in calling Jesus the Son of David, because those words are very important in what he says, Bartimaeus was revealing a belief that he had that even some of Jesus' disciples didn't yet grasp. He was revealing a belief in Jesus that many did not have in the crowd either. He understood who Jesus proclaimed himself to be. And this expression, "Son of David," actually occurs only a few times in the New Testament, and it is what we call a messianic title. According to the Old Testament prophecies, there was to be from the seed of David one who would sit on the throne forever. And that was God's promise to David. It was a common title of the Messiah, the one who would set his people free. And Bartimaeus was acknowledging, as he cried out for mercy, Jesus as the Messiah. He not only believed that Jesus was a miracle worker, and a healer, a great teacher, but he also believed that Jesus was who Jesus claimed to be, the promised Messiah the prophets had foretold about. But why did he cry out? Why did Bartimaeus cry out from that place he was in? Well, again, he had heard of Jesus' power, and this was now the opportunity of a lifetime. Wouldn't you? Bartimaeus believed that Jesus could do something for him that nobody else could. And this cry was coming from a man who was desperate to be healed, to be fixed, to be made whole again. And he knew that he didn't have any hope of healing by any other means except for Christ, who was passing by that day. I think it's good to pause at this point to consider his state, that helpless state. Have you ever been in such a helpless state? A place of just hopelessness. Being stuck where you have no one else to call upon except for the name of Jesus. We all get into these situations in life where we feel like we have nowhere else to go. So what does God promise when we feel hopeless? And I am sure, not just in Campbellford, but across this country, there are many people in a hopeless state. Would you agree? Just stuck, just struggling, just tired of being tired. And you know, God has something to say to you today about that place that you might be in yourself. What does God promise when we feel hopeless? Well, this is what Paul says in Romans 15, verse 13. God's word says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so what Paul says here in this verse is that God is a God of hope, which means that those who trust in Christ always have reason to be full of hope. He also says God can change our discouraged, distressed hearts so that we can abound once again with hope, with confidence that God is in control, that we have his peace, and that we can rejoice and say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord who gives and takes away." How is this even possible? Well, again, what did Paul say? By the power of the Holy Spirit, who dwells in his fullness in every believer in Jesus Christ, sitting in this room right now and across this world. The Holy Spirit who works in our believing and in our faith. As we step out in faith, God then fills us with what we need. When we turn our hearts to trust Jesus and his promises, the Holy Spirit will cause you to abound in hope. And the promises of God in Scripture are true and they are clear. Listen to this one from Psalm 50, verse 15. "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." That's Psalm 50, verse 15. Again, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. Cry out to me. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." What words of hope and comfort today for us. May we follow the words of Bartimaeus in our own lives and cry out to Jesus. He was crying out to Jesus, what? "Have mercy on me." And it was a persistent cry, wasn't it? Because as we learned later in the text, he was shouted down, but that did not stop him. He had a persistent cry to our Savior. And his plea, "Have mercy on me," has become the cry of all who look to God for help. Though he is blind, Bartimaeus sees the truth about Jesus. But instead of hearing Jesus, he hears other people at first. Look at verse 48, where it says, "Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.'" When we get to verse 48, it doesn't tell us who exactly was telling Bartimaeus to be quiet. Shh. Don't bug Jesus. You're annoying him. We don't even know why they would say that. We just learn that it was the people following Jesus telling him to be quiet. And you would think that the people in the crowd would actually feel a little bit more compassion for this blind man and let him through. Let this man see Jesus. But no, it was the exact opposite. They tried to silence him. And I think the crowd is a reminder to us, to all of us, whether you are a follower of Jesus Christ here today or not, that let us not be those people that turn people away from trying to reach Jesus, right? In fact, instead, it should be the other way around. Instead of discouraging desperate people who need Jesus, let us help them to get to Jesus. Encourage people to come to Jesus. Help them know about Jesus. Pray with them if they are open to receiving prayer in the name of Jesus. As we sang, "His name is a strong and mighty tower, a refuge like no other, and all you have to do is call upon the name of Jesus." So far in this passage, where are you? Are you Bartimaeus this morning? Are you in the crowd? Perhaps in the way of people getting closer to Jesus? In verse 49, we learn how Jesus responds. Jesus stopped, and he calls, and he says, actually, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." I wonder if it was the same people that were telling him to be quiet. We'll never know. But in verse 49, we learn how Jesus responds. He doesn't keep walking. Jesus doesn't avoid or ignore this needy person. He stops, and he tells the crowd to go and call on him. And here we see the compassionate side of Jesus, again, reaching out to those in need that society cast out, the marginalized, those that were ignored. And he tells someone in the crowd, "Go and get him. Bring him to me." And whoever it was Jesus has, they bring Bartimaeus to him. They go to Bartimaeus and say, "Listen, Jesus wants to see you. Get up and go to him." And another lesson there, specifically for the church, the mission that we carry from Christ is that we are to be used by God. God wants to use you. God wants to use me to bring others to him, to go with the word, and to go in action to those who need to know that Jesus is calling. The disciples go to Bartimaeus and tell him, "Cheer up, he is calling you." And how does he respond? Well, Bartimaeus, as we learn in the passage, what does he do? Verse 50, throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. So in verse 50, Bartimaeus goes to Jesus and he leaves something behind. What does he leave behind? His cloak. Now, this is an interesting little detail, but there's so much that we can take from these details in God's word. Why on earth did Bartimaeus cast aside his cloak? By casting aside his cloak, Bartimaeus was demonstrating his complete faith in Jesus Christ. Think about it. He was saying, "I'm not going to need this cloak anymore." And that's before he even got to Jesus. Isn't that incredible faith? That's radical faith. Jesus calls him. He's saying, "I'm not going to need this any longer. This darkness is over." By casting aside his cloak, maybe his only one possession, he was demonstrating his faith in what only Jesus could do to save him. You see, a blind person in that time never threw aside their cloak. It would be snatched, taken, stolen. He wouldn't be able to find it again. That's the first reason. He's blind. But Bartimaeus flung his aside because he knew he would be living differently after encountering Jesus. The beggar's cloak has something very important to tell us. And this cloak wasn't just a piece of clothing to this man. It was his identity. This cloak was his life. This cloak reflected the state that he was in, helpless and poor, always needing it nearby. It had been a reminder of his life in darkness, but that was to change because of Jesus. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, we are told, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new is here." What does the cloak represent? His old way of life. When he cast aside his cloak, he cast aside his old life without Jesus. And I believe Bartimaeus was made whole that day, was saved the moment he jumped up in response to Jesus' call. And because of his faith in Jesus, that Jesus later commends him for, he is healed. He receives far more than his sight. His entire identity was transformed. He is now in Christ. His old identity was gone. He was no longer a blind beggar. The scriptures are clear. When somebody asks, "What must I do to be saved?" "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." Acts 16, verse 31. So Bartimaeus comes to Jesus in faith, believing that Jesus could open his eyes and deliver him from the world of darkness. He has cast his cloak aside and he now stands before Jesus. And what does Jesus say? Look with me at verse 51. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. I always love when Jesus asks questions that he already knows the answer to. He wants to hear this man's faith, this belief. Moved with compassion, Jesus asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And, you know, Bartimaeus was used to getting pennies and nickels and dimes and maybe a half a sandwich. What does he answer? Most of the time he got nothing. Now Jesus himself, the Son of God, asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Did he ask for wealth? No. He could have asked for food and shelter, friends. He could have asked for a vacation. He didn't even ask Jesus to bless him. What did he ask Jesus to do? He asked Jesus to change him. He said, "I want to see." And moved with compassion in verse 52, Jesus said, "Go, your faith has healed you." And immediately Bartimaeus received his sight. And in this moment, Bartimaeus receives a miracle. And another miracle jumps out at us again from the gospel messages from Christ's life. And he is able to see. And what a joy it must have been for Bartimaeus to receive his sight and to see the man who healed him, Jesus, the Son of God. And after he is healed of his blindness, look with me again. Jesus says, "Go," in verse 52. "Your faith has healed you." Immediately, Bartimaeus received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. And so as we come to the end of this, after he is healed of his blindness, where did Bartimaeus go? Did Bartimaeus go his own way after this divine life change encounter? Nope, the text ends by telling us he followed Jesus along the road. We read that his way now was to follow the way of Jesus. His encounter with Jesus was not simply a story of sight being restored to the blind, but one of inner spiritual transformation. You know, there's something about having the touch of Jesus on our lives that brings commitment, that brings devotion, that brings a passionate pursuit of knowing God and making him known. You see, having received the help of the Lord, having been delivered from his world of darkness, Bartimaeus had only one desire, and that was to remain in the Lord and to follow Jesus, to remain in the light of Christ. We don't really hear much about him again. Perhaps he walked with Jesus all the way to Jerusalem and saw Jesus crucified. But this man's story invites us to reflect on our own life and also our need to call upon the name of Jesus. And in this passage, we see that the mission of Jesus is to meet our needs with his mercy and to follow him with our lives. Like Bartimaeus, you and I, we can call on Jesus in faith, knowing that he will provide the grace and mercy that we need. So come to Jesus. What do you need to cast aside in order to do that? Come to Jesus, confess your need, and be changed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time of worship and ministry under your word. Again, we just pray by the power of your Spirit that you would help us to understand your word and to know how to apply it to our lives even before we leave this place today. We thank you again for your mercy upon Bartimaeus and your mercy upon our lives. And Lord, we continue to cry out to you, have mercy, O Lord. Change us, we pray. Help us to have hope again that you are a God who can do the impossible and save and deliver us from any addiction or struggle, or hardship that we might be going through today. We give you praise once again for the power that is in the name of Jesus. Amen.